Every person is a world. Every person, each and every one of us, has unique life circumstances and thereby unique challenges, triumphs, and struggles. It is therefore helpful and strengthening to find a variety of paradigms in different life contexts from whom we can glean inspiration, to whom we could aspire to learn life lessons from. This is not an exhaustive study. There are many models for tefillah. Today, we will focus on three. Sarah, the first of the Sheva Neviot. Esther, the last of the Sheva Neviot. And Hannah, the quintessential paradigm for daily tefillah. We'll begin with source one. Sarah is introduced to us for the very first time at the end of Parshat Noah. And in Pasuk Lamed we see it says, Vatihi Sarai Akara Ein La Valad. Sarah is introduced to us for the very first time as an Akara. Chazal comment on the double language, Akara Ein La Valad. This is her unique challenge, her life situation. Bearing this in mind, let's move on to source number two, where a few psukim later in Perek Yavet, Hashem commands Abraham, Lech lecha me'artzacha u'mimoladetcha u'mibeit avicha el ha'aretz asher ha'eka. Abraham is tested and asked to leave his land, and is then promised by Hashem in Pasuk Bet, Ve'eescha u'goy gadol, you, Avram, will become a great nation. Va'avarcha mevarechecha, and those that bless you will be blessed. And if we skip to Pasuk Zayin, we see that Hashem additionally promises Avraham, Lezaracha etein et ha'aretz hazot, I will give this land to your Zera. Let's note that only Avraham heard this haftacha from Hashem, and Sarah is an akara. Nonetheless, she is a full partner. Let's move on to two very similar stories and see how Chazal connect the two and see how they help us understand what kind of a woman Sarah Imenu was. In Perek Yavet, when there is a rav after they reach Eretz Canaan, there is a famine. Avram and Sarah go down to Mitzrayim, and Avram asks Sarah to say that she is his sister. She's a full partner. Sarah is unfortunately taken to the palace, and in Pasuk Yitzayin it says, Vayinaga Hashem et Paro Nega'im Gedolim. Paro is punished with Nega'im Gedolim, with some sort of a skin disease called Ra'atan. Ve'et Eito al Devar Sarai Eshet Avram. Because of this matter concerning Sarah, the wife of Avram. A few prakim later, source 4, in Perek Chaf in Sefer Bereishit, after the destruction of stone, Avram and Sarah go down to Gerar. And once again, we're in a very similar situation. Sarah is taken, again asked to claim that she is Avram's sister, full partner, and is taken to the king's palace. The king is punished, returns Sarah, and the last pasuk in the source, Yilchet, we read of the punishment that had been meted out to Avimelech and those in the palace. Ki atzor atzar Hashem ve'ad kol rechem l'beit Avimelech. Their orifices were closed, the women weren't able to give birth. Al devar Sarai eshet Avram. Again, the exact same language, because of the matter concerning Sarah, the wife of Avram. Let's focus on those words, al devar Sarai and al devar Sarah. What thing? What devar? Is it just the circumstance that was mentioned? Or is there something more? Could it be something that Sarah said? If so, what is it that she said? Source 5, Bereishit Rabbah. The beginning of the Midrash describes the 24 different kinds of shin and describes the Ra'atan, which is the kind that Paro was stricken with. And we're going to go down four lines to Amar Rabbi Barachia, to the middle of that line. Kol oto halayla, that entire night, when Sarah is in Paro's palace, the Midrash is filling in out for us what the Pesukim do not say. Haita Sarah shtucha al paneha. She was spread out with her face down saying, Ribon ha'olamim. Avram yatza b'havtacha. Avram went out with a promise from you. Ve'ani yatzati be'emuna. I, Hashem, who didn't hear the haftacha personally, I went out with emuna, with conviction, with belief, to be a full partner with Avram in this promise. Avram yatza chutz lasira. Avram is outside of this prison. He's outside of this jail with the haftacha. Ve'ani betoch hasira. And I'm stuck here inside this palace with Paro. Amar Allah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem answers Sarah and says, Kol ma she'ani oseh, everything that I will do now, Sarah, bishvilech ani oseh. I will do it for you. I will do it in your merit. Ve'akol omrim al devar Sarai eshet Avram. And everyone will say, that is because of this matter concerning Avram, which we see is true, that not only was Sarah freed, Avram benefited as well. Hashem's reaction to Sarah's unwavering faith. What was this emuna that Sarah had? Let's skip for a moment to number 6, the Mor Nevuchim on the bottom of the page. Same page, we're still on page 2. Line 1. Ki ha'emuna eina ha'inyan ha'ne'emar b'peh, aval ha'inyan ha'mitsuyar b'nefesh. The Rambam says, what is emuna? Emuna is not something that's just a word that comes out of your pet. Aval ha'inyan ha'mitsuyar b'nefesh. Emuna is conviction to the ideas that you know to be true. Like my mom often says, it's easy to talk the talk, but it's much harder to walk the walk. Sarah walked the walk. The Chobos HaLevavos tells us that when we say in Shema, V'ayu ha-divarim ha'ele, asher anochi mitzavacha hayom, al levavecha, what does al levavecha mean? It means that we have to integrate it into the essence of who we are. So let's get back up to 5 for 1 minute and continue in the Medrash. What was Hashem's reaction to Sarah's tremendous emuna? The Medrash continues, Amar Rabbi Levi, we're 4 lines up from the bottom. Kol oso halayla, that entire night that Sarah was in Paro's palace, haya malach omeid, Umaglev biyado. There was a malach standing with a stick in his hand. Haba amar la, ein amarti mechi mechina. Sarah, you tell me to hit, I hit. Ein amar nishpat shebikna. If you say let me let go and not touch or hurt somebody, I will. The kol kach lama, shahaita omeret lo eshet ish ani, v'lo haya poresh. Because even though she told him at this point in the palace that she was a married woman, he didn't want to stop touching her. So Hashem gave her this power that there was a malach and her divarim, her words, the Medrash is saying, al divar sarai, not only the circumstance that she found her in, herself in, but her emuna was so strong that her words commanded everything that went on in the palace that night to save her. That was Hashem's response to her emuna. Page 3, source 7. This conviction, this emuna, was Sarah's lifeblood. It was so intense that she could not contain it. For Avram and Sarah, it wasn't enough to leave their emuna in the chambers of their hearts or to merely share it with each other. They felt compelled to share their love of Hashem with the world. Ve'et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan, Rashi explains, Elu ha-geirim, she'yatsu me'avodazara shalahem, u'bal l'stotev tachas tzel ha-kadosh baruch hu, she'chniso tachas kanfei ha-shechina, that Avram was magayer the men, and Sarah was magayer the women, and they brought the people to monotheism. The Rambam explains, we're three lines up from the bottom in source 7. We say this in Shema every day. The Ahavta es Hashem. How do we love Hashem? How do we observe this in the best possible way? Ahaveyu al habrios. Make Hashem beloved by the brios, by other people. Ke Avraham avicha. Shene emar ve'es ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. Ritzono lomar. Kmo she'Avraham. Ba'avur sha'ya ohev Hashem. Kmo she'ira katuv Avram avi, shaya gam kein l'gogel hasagato, darash ha'anashim el ha'emuna michozek ahavato, kein ata ahovoto ad she'tidrosh anashim elav. When we want to know how to do this mitzvah of Avad Hashem, we need to look at Avram and Sarah as our models. It was so integrated into who they are. They felt it with such a passion that in the most natural way, Avram and Sarah were compelled to share it with the world. In source 8, we learn about the hesped that Avram gave for Sarah upon her death. And it says in the Torah, Ve'avo Avraham lispod l'Sarah. Sarah died, Avram was not present when she died, and he came to eulogize her. And the next two words in the pasuk ask, Meheichan bat. Where did Avram come from? Rav Yedid, in his book Sheva Nevi'ot, asks, what does the question of Meheichan bat come to add about Sarah's personality? Why is where she came from relevant as part of the hesped, part of the eulogy that Avraham gave about her? There are two opinions in the Medrash. Rabbi Levi Amar, Mikvurato shel Terach was Saraba. Avram was burying Terach and came to bury Sarah and to be masked her. Rabbi Yossi says, Halo Kvurato shel Terach kadmal Kvurato shel Sarah shtei shanim. Terach died 2 years earlier. Ella Meheichan ba, where did he come from then? Mehar Moriah. He was coming back from Akedas Yitzchak. The Meid Hasara Meoto Tsar, Lefichach Nismacha Akeda, Levayihi Chaye Sara. So we can understand the part of the Medrash that says that he was coming back from Akedas Yitzchak and that from the Tsar of Akedas Yitzchak that caused Sarah's death. Now in this Medrash, when there are two different opinions, they're not a machloket. They're just to explain to us the inyan from two different angles. How is Terach's death connected with Sarah? Rabbi Yedid beautifully explains that Terach's death, Avram's burying Terach, represents Avram burying his past. Avram had to completely separate himself from his original legacy of his father, from the Avodah Zarah that his father was seeped in. And Akedas Yitzchak, the hardest of the 10 tests that Avram had, reflects Avram's sacrifice and willingness and strength and conviction to build a future. And the reason why this is part of Sarah's hesped via Vo Avraham is because Avram is giving Sarah the ultimate compliment. He's saying, not only did this woman feel such conviction that she lived a life of conviction, that she was part of the Haftacha even when she was barren, that she went along, that she educated the women because she felt so compelled to share her love of Hashem with everyone, but she made me into who I am. Sarah helped me bury my past and build the future for Am Yisrael. All of these reasons make Sarah a paradigm for tefillah. Developing conviction, emuna, to ideas that she knew to be true. Chana, our second paradigm, who becomes the quintessential model for our daily tefillah, what's her unique contribution? What are the things that we can glean from her? Source 9. Shmuel Aleph, Parak Aleph. Chana is asking for a child. She has prayed. She has been taunted by Penina. Her husband says to her, Anochi tov lach me'asara banim. I am better for you than 10 sons. It's okay, Chana. It's okay. Chana realizes that she is completely alone. It is only Hashem on whom she can depend. And it is in this context that we see Chana in Shiloh at the Mishkan, alone with Hashem, with only HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hope and lean on. Beit Palel al Hashem, she throws herself on Hashem. In Sarah, the actual psukim did not tell us her tefillah, but in Chana's situation it does. And very interestingly, I'm going to bring your attention to, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the fact that she asks for a zera an Hashem. She doesn't just ask for a son. She's very specific in her request for what kind of son she wants. The best, the brightest, tzaddik. V'ashpoch et nafshi lifnei Hashem. The end of Pasuk Tevav, she pours out her heart before Hashem. And Pasuk Yud Zayin, let's start looking for some words that come from a similar shorish. They're going to appear 7 times. Vaya'an Eli Vayomer, after she davens and makes a neder and says to Hashem, if you give me a child, he will spend his life in your service. After she explains to Eli that she wasn't drunk, he says to her, Lechi l'shalom, go in peace. Velokei Yisrael yitain et sheilateich, your request. Asher sha'out. Let's skip to Pasuk Chav. Vayhilut kufot hayamim. After the days passed and she finished nursing her son and it was time to bring him back to Shiloh. Vateled bein vatikra et shemo Shmuel ki me Hashem. Again that word. She'il tiv. Let's just peek down at the Radak, source 10. His name, she's right on the same page. Oh, sorry. There's a different. The Radak explains, "Korkeva hamila b'zeh hatam ki min Hashem she'altihu." His name is Shmuel because I requested of Hashem to give me this child. Kiyesh ba'otiot Shmuel Shaul. I asked of him from Hashem. V'yesh ba'otiot avgam kein me'el. Kilu amra sha'ul me Hashem. Look at these words. He's requested from Hashem, and he's loaned from Hashem. He's being given back to Hashem. He's devoting his life to service of Hashem. Back to the text in number 9. Pasuk Chav Zayin. El hana'ar hazeh itpalalti vayitain Hashem li et she'elati asher sha'alti mihimo v'gam hanochi hishio tihu. We see that again. L'Hashem kol hayamim asher hayahu sha'ul l'Hashem vayishtachu sham l'Hashem. Rabbi Val Ariel points out that Chana is teaching us here to daven in context. That when we daven, if we put our tefillot in context of saying to Hashem, Hashem, what I'm asking for, what I'm asking you for, I would like to use for your service, in your service. Now that makes very clear why Chana is chosen to be a paradigm of tefillah, having tremendous clarity that all that we ask for is being asked to use in the service of Hashem. There's an additional reason why I believe Chana is the paradigm for tefillah. I'm just going to go back for 1 second to source 12, sorry. When Hannah felt completely alone with Hashem, was completely dependent on Hashem, it helps us understand the psukim in Bereshit, when Yaakov is upset at Rachel, when Rachel says to Yaakov, why aren't you davening for me? Havali banim, give me children, and I am made to anochi, if not I'm going to die. And it says, Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel, and he's upset with Rachel. And the Rabban explains that he was upset that Rachel was feeling some dependency on him and not completely putting her dependence on Hashem. And if you look 2 lines up on the bottom of the Ramban, starting from the word Vihine, the 5th to the last word, Vihine ha-tzadeket b'ra'otah sh'lo tuchah lihisameh ha'filat Yaakov. When Rachel realized that she could not depend on Yaakov's tefillah, Shava litpalel al hasma. She renewed her tefillah efforts on her own. El shomer faka v'zehu bayishma eleha Elohim. And then Hashem answered her tefillah. That once she realized that she was completely 100% dependent on Hashem, then her tefillah was answered, her renewed tefillah after that encounter with Yaakov, which Hannah succeeded in doing as well, in realizing her complete and total dependence on Hashem. So the additional reason for Hannah being a paradigm of prayer, we need to ask a question. Was it okay that Hannah asked for a zera on Hashem? Was it okay that she was so specific in her request? She was asking for a child. That was a pretty big request. And she gets really specific about how this child has to be. Shaful kamosha v'aron, a tzaddik, a chacham. You know, my husband tells me the story that he once met his friend's grandmother. He was in Memphis, Tennessee. And she said to him, you know, when I daven to God, he has so much to take care of in the world that I don't busy him with my minutia. I only ask God for the really, really big stuff. Now, as sweet and well-meaning as this woman was, that's very, very contrary to our perspective of tefillah. Her perspective was one of ma'anosh v'tizkerena, like who's a man that God should bother with? But our response is no. Hashem wants to be bothered. Hashem wants our tefillah. Hashem wants our details. And that is why Hannah is complimented so for being so specific in her request for Hashem. She didn't just say, give me a son, but was extremely descriptive in the exact kind of son she wanted. That is why, if you look in Source 13, you'll see how many halachos we learn from Chana. Amar Rav Hamnuna, kama hilchasa, ikol mashma hanikari de Chana. What do we learn from Chana? He midaberet aliva, mikalam tzpalel shetzarachi kavim livo. We learn from Chana that you have to daven with kavana. Rap, or it doesn't count when you daven Shemona Esrei. Rap, fatehana o, mikalam tzpalel shiachtok tzfasa, that you have to pronounce the words and move your lips. The kolalo yishma, these halachos are halachos that we use every single day when we daven. They're not allowed to daven too loud when you're that loud when you're davening Shemona Esrei. V'yachshaveh Eli l'shikora, Eli thought she was drunk. Mikan sheshikor asur lihitpalel. We learn from here that somebody who's drunk is not allowed to daven. Chana is the paradigm for how everybody davens every single day. So let's look back now at the specificity of her tefillah. Tehillim, Perek Chafalach, Mem Pealach, Pasuk Yeralach. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hamalcha, Me Eretz Mitzrayim, Harchiv Picha, Ha'amalehu. I am Hashem who took you up from Mitzrayim. Open up your mouth widely. Harchiv Picha, Ha'amalehu, and I will fill it. Rashi on this pasuk explains, Harchiv Picha, Lish'ol mimeni kol ta'avat libecha. Ask of me everything that you want. Va'amalehu kechol asher tish'al amaleh. Because everything that you ask for, I will give you. Ibn Ezra 16, Tasher ta'amin, ki anochi Hashem, because when you believe that I am Hashem, ha'omed la'netzach, the eternal God, ask of me, b'picha, kol ritzoncha, u'mishali becha, fa'amaleyu. Which leads us to the Gemara in Talmud Yerushalmi, Tanis, Paragimel, Halacha Vav, Source 17, V'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Im Sidarta Tfilah, Lo Tehe Meitzar Picha, don't be narrow with your mouth when you daven, Ella Harchiv Picha Va'amaleinu. There is a halachic principle that we learn from this, that we are supposed to supplicate Hashem for all of our needs. And in this way, we demonstrate Hashem's omnipotence, Hashem's ability to answer all of our needs, to provide all of our needs, and thereby show our dependence on Hashem. So Hannah is the paradigm for putting our requests toward the service of Hashem, and that the specificity of our requests represent our dependency of Hashem, on Hashem, which is a necessary element of tefillah. We're now going to move on to Esther. We began with Sarah, the first of the Nevi'ot, and we're ending with Esther, who is the last. As was the case with Sarah, Esther's tefillah is not explicitly expressed in the Psukim. Chazal fill in for us and portray the depth of Esther's torment and the deep sense of responsibility that she felt in the communal crisis that Am Yisrael faced. So Hannah is our model for personal tefillah, and Esther is a model for reacting in a state of communal crisis. I'd just like to set up the stage a little bit. Getting to the king, getting to Ahasuerus, was such a far shot that to the outsider, Esther was on her way to the suicide mission. Everyone in the palace was banking on her not succeeding, on her being killed in the process. The Medrash in Tehillim Chaf Bet, which as we all know is the famous Tehillim about Esther, I suggest that when you have time, you learn this parak inside with the Mefarshim. It's really powerful. This is, of course, the parak of Tehillim that Chazal tell us Esther said on the way, L'amenatzeach ala yelet ha-shachar mizmor le-David, keili keili lama azavtanim. This quote right now is not in your handout. This is quoting the conversation that was happening in the palace as Esther risks her life standing before Ahasuerus when she wasn't called in. This is the conversation. Ukshamra uvachena voal hamelech hitchilu b'nei paltarin omrim. The guys in the palace started to talk. Achshav hukoes aleha v'nigzar aleha misa. She's dead. Ania told Begadeha, I'll take her clothes when she dies. Vizelmer, Ania told Tashiteha, her jewelry, it's mine. Vizelmer, Ania told Esparparasha Lashal Machud, well, I want all of her regal ornaments. This specific one is not in, I'm just setting the stage for you. Oh, it's a Medrash Tehillim Parakhavet. It's a Medrash Tehillim on Perek Chavet. If she got to the king, there was a plan which may or may not have worked. But for any outsider looking in, this is sure suicide. Which brings us to Source 18 and sets the stage for the Gemara in Yuma, Chavtet Amud Aleph. So we just said that L'manaseh al-ayelet ha-shachar keli keli lama azatani perak of that. That is the Esther Hamalka. That's the perak of Tehillim that's about her. So the question is, why is Esther compared to an ayelet ha-shachar? Why? So the Gemara explains. Amar Rabasi, lama nimshala estel l'shachar? Why is she compared to dawn? Lomar lach, ma shachar sof kol halayla? Just like the dawn comes after the whole entire night. Al Esther, sof kol hanisim. So too Esther is the end of all the nisim. V'hai Chanukah. What about Chanukah? Chanukah happens after the story of Esther. Nitna lifto ka'aminen. According to the opinion that Esther was to be written and to be included in the canon of the Sifrei Tanakh, Esther is the shachar because she's the end of the miracles that were written and recorded as part of Sifrei Kodesh. But what about the opinion that says that Esther should not be written and included in the Sifrei Kodesh? So according to that opinion, Lama Nimshala Esther LaShachar, LaYeled HaShachar, why is she called LaYeled HaShachar if that's not the case, if Esther didn't need to be the last written book, then we do still have Hanukkah. So how do we make sense of this? To Amar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lama Nimshalu Tzilasam Shel Tzadikim Kayelet. Because Esther's being compared to the Ayelet, to the hind. Lo marlach. Ma ayala zu. We're not focusing on the shachar now, we're focusing on the ayala. Kol zman shenegadelet, as long as the animal grows, it's the male animal, karneha matzimot, her antlers branch out. Rashi explains, every year the antlers form an additional branch. Kol zman shemarbin tzfilatan nishma. That Esther is compared to an ayelet because her tefillah were so strong and she continued to daven, that just like an ayelet's antlers continue to grow, so too Esther's tefillah, her persistent and consistent tefillah, she kept at it, continue to grow like an ayelet. And that is why Esther is called the Ayelet HaShachar. And in source 19, the Meiri explains that Esther's approach is a model for all of us. V'chein le'olam yehe adam nizhar b'tfilah. People should be very careful when they daven, v'la'arichbo b'yoter, and we should daven a lot, in a lengthy fashion. V'afilu ro'e atzmo she'em tfilato nishmat, and even if we don't see an immediate response to our tefillah, al yitya'esh heimena. Don't despair if we don't see our tefillah answered right away. Ki berov hayamim yimtza'ena. Eventually, our tefillah will be answered. V'kein al yachzik atzmo b'machbid u'matriach. We shouldn't think that we're being matriach Hashem by asking. Derech ha'ara amru lamanatzeach al ayelet ha'shachar. And that's what the Gemara is trying to teach us from the words in Tehillim. Lamanatzeach al ayelet ha'shachar. Lama nimshalu tzadikim la'ayala? Why are tzadikim like an ayala? Lomar lach, ma ayala, kol zman shenegadelet karneha maftilo, as long as she continues to grow, her antlers continue to grow. Shebechol shana v'shana mitchadesh pitzul echad bekarneha. Every year another new part comes out of the antler. Kain tzadikim, kol zman shemarvin v'tfila, as long as the tfila is continued, tfilatan nishma. The Meiri is telling us, it'll break eventually. It'll get through. Even though we don't see it right away, we learn from Esther to keep at it. And the Ritva, in source 20, adds something to make it even stronger. Ma ayala zu, kol zman shenegadelet karneha mafsilot, This Hayalah, who for as long as she grows, her his karnayim continue to grow, Pirush Mosefet Koach Ugvura. Not only should our tefillot be consistent and persistent, not only, like the Meiri says, will our tefillot eventually have an effect, our tefillot gain strength, gain momentum, gain potency, the more we pray, the more consistent we are, the more we ask for the same thing. And that's the lesson that we learn from the Gemara. Keep davening, and the davening will continue to gain strength. That's what we have to aspire to be. We have to aspire, we all have to aspire to be tzaddikim. You're right, beautiful point. It's not out of our reach. Lo b'shamayim. Esther did not only grow personally in her prayer, she also led and inspired Am Yisrael to do teshuvah and to grow in a personal way. And she was willing to sacrifice herself for the nation and wanted to teach and inspire Am Yisrael. In Source 22, we're going to skip 21 for now, Esther says to Mordechai, Lech kenoth et kol hayudim haninsa'im b'shushan. Please gather, go and gather all the Jews that are in Shushan, v'tsumu alai, and fast for me for 3 days, al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshet yamim, laila v'yom. Gamani v'narotai atzum kein, uv'chein avol hamelech asher lo kadar. She asks all of Am Yisrael to fast. Chazal explained that they're doing tshuva for participating in the meal of Achashverosh. Esther is inside the palace, all alone, but the Jews of Shushan are on the outside, fasting along with her and doing tshuva. Rabbi Yigal Ariel points out that Esther is sending a message to the people. You are part of this scheme also. Not all planning needs to be political cunning. You need to do teshuva. I need to shake you out of your complacency. Kenosas hayudin. Gather together and work on yourselves and grow. So they're on the outside fasting. She's on the inside fasting. Another medrash that I'm sorry I don't have in the sources. Vatit palel Hashem vatomer. Ata Adoni Malki v'ani amatecha Hashem, you are my king and I am your maidservant. Azreini v'hoshieini, help me, save me. Ki ein li ozer zulatecha, I have no one to help me. I'm in this palace all alone. It's just you that is there to help me. Ki eimat navet, mavet, nafal alai, the fear of death is on me. Suicide. And then the degree of Esther's willingness to sacrifice herself. If we look at source number 23, her tremendous Mesirat Nefesh. On the words in the Megillah, V'kasher avadati, avadati, and when I will be lost, I am really gone. Ad asher lo kadat, Amar Rabbi Abba, Shalom Kedas Hayah, Shabachol Yom Ayom Ad Achad, Ad Achshav Ba'ones, the Achshav Baratzon. Until this point, Esther was in the palace by force. So the relations that she had with Achashverosh did not require her to separate from her husband, who Chazal tell us was Mordechai. But this act of sacrifice, when Esther was going in on her own, the kasher avadati, avadati. Kishim sh'avadati mi beis abba, kach avadu minecha. And now, she will also have to be lost in a sense to Mordechai forever, because in her willingness to sacrifice for Am Yisrael, the fact that she now goes into Achashverosh willingly means that she can't be with her husband anymore. And that she is in the palace for the rest of her life. You know, when the kids in preschool learn about Queen Esther in the palace, it all sounds very exciting and cute and fun. But Esther was imprisoned for the rest of her life in this palace with Ahasuerus, Laman, Klal Yisrael. That's what they say for the good of the nation. Source 21, I'll take some advice from Rabbi Akiva. Hopefully I'm not putting anybody to sleep here, but in Esther Rabbah, Rabbi Akiva was teaching, and he saw that his Talmidim were dozing off. Rabbi Akiva haya yoshev v'doresh, v'niznamimu ha-Talmidim, they're dozing off. Bala arara, Rabbi Akiva wanted to wake his Talmidim up. Yeton amar. So he said to his students, he saw a really neat comparison. Ma zachta Esther limloch al sheva ve'esrim u'meya medina? Why was Esther zoche to be a princess over 127 medinot? Ella, kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, tavo Esther, bita shel Sarah, shechaita, Sheva desrim umeya shana. Sarah lived 127 years. Esther, who's acting like the daughter of Sarah, bat bitash al Sarah, v'tzimlo al sheva desrim umeya medina. So we're seeing a very clear comparison between Sarah and Esther. Rabbi Zip points out, let's look how clear it is. Both women were taken to the palace against their will. In both stories, the kings didn't know the true relationship of the men that were with them. Esther was a Malka, Sarah was a Nisicha, that's what the name Sarah means. And of course, Sarah died at the age of 127, and Esther ruled over 127 Medinot. Both Sarah and Esther inspired people to commit themselves. Sarah inspired them to commit themselves to monotheism. Esther inspired them to commit themselves to Hashem, to recommit themselves to Hashem. Kiyumu v'kibur. Interestingly, the Medrash in telling us on which day Sarah went in to the Melech, we're in Source 25. She went in on day 3 after fasting. We are 4 lines up from the bottom of Source 25, 3 words from the end of the line. Ayhi bayom hashlishi vatilbash Esther malchut lavsha malchut beis aviha be'ez zuchut. In which zuchut was Esther banking on this third day when she's going in to the palace? Rabbanan v'Rabbi Levi, Rabbanan Amri b'zuchut yom hashlishi shal matan Torah. Just like it says in Shemos with Matan Torah that it was on Vayom HaShalishi of the 3, the Shloshi Semei Havala, after preparing for 3 days, so too Esther goes in on day 3. Shenehemar Vayhi Vayom HaShalishi V'yot HaBoker, they go out to Har Sinai. V'Ravi Levi Amar Bizchus Shel Shlishi Shall Avraham Avinu. Shenehemar, when Avraham was bringing Yitzchak to the Akedah, on day 3, Vayehi Bayom HaShalishi, Vayaret HaMakom Erachok. On their third day of travel is when they headed up the mountain to Har HaMoriah. Vayaret HaMakom Erachok, Ma Ra'a Anan Kashur Bahar, Amar Domesh Oto Makom, Sha'amar Li HaKadosh Baruch Hu, La'krib et b'ni sham. The Medrash is underscoring the significance of Yom HaShlishi. Both are very significant. One, for Matan Torah, because Esther inspired the rededication of the people. And the other, Akedat Yitzchak, Rav Yedid points out, Esther's actions were a karban. They were a sacrifice. Both Akedat Yitzchak and Esther's sacrifice serve as a tremendous zechut for Klal Yisrael. And let's remember that Achdut was a prerequisite for both. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, when Bnei Yisrael came to Sinai, they were Ka'ab Ki'ish Echad B'Leib Echad, like one person with one heart. And so too, Esther gave this message to the Jews and said, Kenos Eskol HaYehudim. You have to come together. You have to inspire yourselves. The Jewish people have to be unified if they want salvation. In summation, Esther represents consistent and persistent tefillah. She never gives up. Her tefillah gains momentum and potency with time. She's willing to sacrifice herself and inspires not only herself, but all of Klal Yisrael. And she plans carefully. We see a merge of practical planning and heartfelt prayer, which Rav Soloveitchik sums up so beautifully in a drasha that he gives about Esther as follows. I read. If you don't have it. Esther taught the Jewish people how to fast and how to pray. The inspired, charismatic woman is superior to man in two ways. Apply practical action and prayer. Chana, the mother of Shmuel, taught us all how to pray. Though she herself can never be counted in a minyan, she is responsible for showing us how to confront God. While Chana taught the individual person how to pray in a time of stress, Esther taught us how to pray together as a nation in times of peril. It's strange that these two traits, pragmatic cunning and the ability to pray, are really opposite. And yet women excel in both. Cunning is to be found only in adults whose years of experience with life mature them to be able to correlate all the possible factors and devise a scheme of action. Immature people may be brilliant, but they cannot be policymakers. Prayer, on the other hand, is an art in which the child excels. An adult is too realistic, too cynical, too hardened by life. To truly pray, you must believe the unbelievable and hope for the impossible. True prayer is also that which swells up from either total despair or complete ecstasy. The adult moderates his emotions and doesn't allow himself to let loose and go to the extremes of feeling. But a child gives free rein to the feelings of anger, happiness, disappointment, and joy. The child knows how to pray Mima Amakim out of the depths of despair, and also how to sing a Shir Chadash, a new song of rejoicing. The Jew is asked to be an adult and a child at the same time. When called upon to act as history maker, as messenger of God, one must act with maturity and cunning. But when one prays, he should shed his mature sophistication and let his overwhelming enthusiasm or unlimited grief pour out to God. One must hope for the impossible or know that nothing is impossible for God. These two opposing character traits find their most perfect reconciliation in womankind, symbolized to us by Queen Esther. In conclusion, Sara Imenu with her conviction, Chana with her specificity in her request, and her willingness to use that which Hashem granted to her in the service of God, and Esther with her persistent prayers and her self-sacrifice, represent for us paradigms of prayer, teaching us life lessons. May we be zocha to be motivated and inspired by their tefillot and by their lives.